orchestra. What a marvelous job the orchestra does every single Sunday. And his eye is on the sparrow. I hope that the music points your attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. I understand that we applaud to encourage, you know, we applaud to say, you know, good job and that kind of thing. But I hope and I pray that our praise is directed at the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not performing, okay? We're praising Him. And so anyway, I just thought of David when he played on the harp, you know, and Saul was refreshed him as well and all of that. So thank you, orchestra. Thank you, singers. Thank you so very, very much. If you would, take your Bibles, please. I'm going to ask Pastor Jim in a moment to come lead us in prayer. You can go ahead and be seated. You can go ahead and be seated. Yeah, in just a minute. Don't want you to get tired. You've been working too hard this week already. When I was in Bible college, I was able to serve two summers in an evangelistic crusade, going into churches and holding something like vacation Bible school. It was called Neighborhood Bible Time. And we would do all kinds of different things, you know, like in VBS. One of the things was we would have sword drills. We would have a Bible search and that kind of thing. We'd have the young people, they'd be wired. They'd be all fired up, you know, they'd take their Bibles, and then we tell them, present Bibles. Put the Bibles out there. Bibles over your head. And then we'd say, wiggle your thumbs. We didn't want any of this starting, you know, cheating, okay? Wiggle your thumbs. And then we'd say the verse, you know, like John 14:6. Say it. John 14:6. They'd say it. And then we'd say, charge. And boy, they'd start looking, you know, and when they found it, they stepped forward, you know. And we had a lot of fun with that. You know, it's good to know where things are in your Bible. You know where things are in your house. You know where things are, you know, that you have to have for work and school and all that kind of, but God's Word. Every once in a while, I did something just really mean. And I would say, Hezekiah chapter 1, verse 3. Say it. Hezekiah 1, 3. Wiggle your thumbs, charge! And they'd start looking, and they'd start looking, and they'd look, and they'd look, and some of them would just stand there. Those are the ones who quote the books of the Bible, and they're thinking, hey, wait a minute, Hezekiah's not in the... But you know, there was a guy named Hezekiah, and he was a king. And although he did not write a book of the Bible, it is believed by Bible scholars that he wrote at least two psalms. And we're going to look at one of those. Psalm chapter 42. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 42. Charge. Psalm chapter 42. And Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years of age. His father was a wicked king. He was King Ahaz. And the Bible says in 2 Chronicles that he set up and built altars to false gods in every corner of Jerusalem. He closed down the temple of God. He stopped the worship and all that kind of thing. He was a wicked, wicked man. And yet God used Hezekiah, whenever he became king, God used him in a mighty way that he did not follow the steps of his fathers. He followed the step of the Heavenly Father. He followed the steps of Almighty God in his life. And the Bible describes him as probably the second greatest king in all of Israel after King David. And yet, in Hezekiah's life, we find that some things happened to him. There were attacks and threats and all that. From Sennacherib, the Syrian army, and all of these folks. But he did not take his eyes off the Lord in the midst of a tribulation. He did not take his eyes off God. And he encouraged the people to stand with courage and with boldness, because we are God's people doing God's will, trying to do it God's way. And God sent an angel and fought for them when they could not fight on their own. He did not make alliances with the world. His alliance was with Almighty God. And God blessed him. And God used him mightily. And then, after 20 years, he got very sick. He got very ill. We're not told exactly what it was that he got. what kind of disease it was, but the prophet Isaiah came to him and he said, I just want you to know the word from the Lord is that you're going to die. Well, that's a fine howdy-do. I mean, after all that he had done for the Lord and faithfully and walked with God and all that kind of thing. And we're going to see how he dealt with that in Psalm chapter 42. Read with me 11 verses and then Pastor Jim's going to pray. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. From the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill of Mizar, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime and in the night. His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Pastor Jim, lead us in prayer, please, if you will.
Our Father, we thank you, Lord, for delivering us from the hand of the enemy, saving our souls, setting us on a solid rock, and putting a spring in our step, joy in our soul. And Father God, we love you today because you loved us first. And Lord, we're here today, Lord, to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
who paid the ultimate price for our sins. I pray, God, that you would speak to every heart here. And Lord, save that one soul that's nearest hell. And Lord, heal those people that are suffering so much. I pray for Miss Debbie. I pray for Donna, surgery tomorrow. Pray for Brother Mark, who's been so sick and hurting. But God, we're here today to say thank you for surviving just one more day. And our prayer is, even so come, Lord Jesus, get us out of this old world. It's not getting any better. And you said in your word that there'll be a great tribulation coming. So, Lord, I pray for the rapture of the church. Save the soul as near as hell. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. God bless you. The title of this message is The Rest of Your Life. The Rest of Your Life. Now, in Hezekiah's time, the rest of his life, according to what he had heard from the prophet Isaiah, who was his friend, who was his co-worker in the Lord's work, he told him and gave him the message that his time is short. But you may say, well, I seem to have hopefully another 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. I might have 30, 40 years. We just saw some graduates walk across the stage here, and they're praying and hoping that they've got 55 to 75 more years to live for the Lord. However it is that you see the future in your life, I ask you, would you adopt this mindset and this desire and this commitment for the rest of your life. That's what he did. He did not get all upset and mad. Of course, no one loves to hear bad news. None of us want that. But if you will take these three simple thoughts that we get from Psalm 42, I believe it'll help you for the rest of your life. And here they are. Number one, I encourage you to jot them down. It's very simple. Long for the Lord. Long for the Lord. The Bible says that as a heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. In this day, this was what they referred to as the deer and things. And as they were looking for the water brook, that little tongue would come out. Now, I haven't been around deer that much, but I've been around dogs. And I was over at Debbie's, Larry and Debbie's house on Friday, and their little dog, boy, I tell you, what's your dog's name again?
Bella.
Bella. And Bella got up and sat there right there between us, and I'm sitting there, and that dog just licked my hand and licked my hand, licked my thumb, licked my fingers, just kept licking. I thought, what good do I have? What did I eat? Did I have something? I mean, it's just like honey was all over my hand or something. And she was just kissing me and licking me and all that kind of thing. Now, my dog, I had a boxer, and they have that great big, wide, thick tongue. You know, they'll just slobber all over you. And whenever he was very thirsty, it just wouldn't hang out. It would hang out the side, you know, just flop. And he wanted something to drink. As the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Jesus said it this way, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5:6. We should hunger and thirst after that. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Do you long after God? Are there things in your life that you want more than God in your heart and your life? Hezekiah, as he wrote this, he said, I want you most of all, Lord. Do you have that close relationship with the Lord? Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. There are a lot of things to distract us in this world, and most of them are good, you know. But as I said in a prayer earlier, good things and worthy things can sometimes take the place of the best things. Do you long for God? Hezekiah said, I long for him. I thirst after him. Ezra 8:22 gives us a warning. The hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him, but his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him. If there's anyone you do not want against you, that's Almighty God. He is sovereign. That means he rules. That means he is in control and he's in charge. So how do you long for God? How do you find God? Let me tell you, first of all, you can find God in his house. Hezekiah said that. He said, when shall I appear before God? Evidently, this sickness had kept him from even worshiping the Lord, even going to God's temple. I'm thankful, you know, we live in a day now when radio ministry has kind of taken a step back. Radio ministry used to be the thing that the way churches got the gospel out, you know, and broadcasting and all that kind of thing. Radio is extremely expensive these days. Television is extremely expensive these days. But and it has a very limited range. But now, because of the computers and all of that kind of thing, the live stream, we can not only broadcast to Deltona and to DeBerry and DeLand, we can broadcast to Dubai. I mean, you know, it's just worldwide available on live. But you know, there's something special about coming together as God's people to worship him. There's a blessing that God has for you. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. There are some people who got up this morning and said, you know what, only 10% chance of rain, And it's a beautiful day, and we've been looking forward to doing. I know we haven't been in church in a while, but God understands, and we can worship God anywhere, can't we? And they didn't have any reason. They didn't have any difficulty. They just decided just to stay home and go and do something that they thought was more important than worshiping God. The Bible says that we should meet together so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day? The day of the Lord's return. We should be in church more. That's why we don't close our doors on Sunday night. We keep our doors open on Sunday evening. We have a whole other church service on Sunday night. And then on Thursday nights, in revival meetings and mission conferences, anything possible to try to strengthen our walk with the Lord. Long for the Lord. We can find God in His house. You can find God in your heart. Oh, what do you mean, preacher? What do you mean you find God in your heart? Well, 1 Chronicles 22:19 says it this way, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." What is the focus of your heart? The Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer, if you're born again, blood bought, the Bible says that His Spirit dwells within you, within your heart. What is your focus on in your heart? The Bible says we should seek God with our heart. 2 Chronicles 15:12 says, "And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul." And that leads us to this next point, this next thought in this passage. Not only did he long for the Lord, longing, but he loved the Lord. I encourage you to do this. Love on the Lord. Love on the Lord. You know, you might say to your grandchildren, you might say to your daughter, your boy, when they're, "Come here, Daddy needs some loving. Come here, hop on my lap. Give me a hug. Give me a squeeze. Give me a kiss right there, right there. Give me a kiss." Let me tell you something. The Bible says that we're to love the Lord our God. We're to love on Him. We're to praise Him. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, that we're commanded to love the Lord. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." It's a commandment. "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God." Now, when our kids were little and we went over to my parents' house, I would motion to give Nana a kiss. Give Nana a kiss. Give her a hug. You know, little boys and little girls, they don't think of that all the time. They have to be kind of taught and trained to love and express love and that kind of thing. You know, we have to be taught and trained to how to love God. We do. Let me ask you something. How do you act when you love someone? Let me suggest some thoughts to you. You spend moments with them, don't you? You spend time with them. If you love somebody, you want to be with them. You want to be around them. If you love someone, spend moments with them. If you love somebody, then you spend money on them, don't you? Yeah. You spend money on them if you love them. It's an expression. It's a way of showing, a way of proving our love. If you love somebody, Pastor Jim, you spend muscle on them, don't you? Spend muscle on them. And if that honey-do list is right there, you clean the windows and you spend muscle. You work for them. You do anything you can for them. Moments and money and muscle. That's just three ways that you and I understand expressions of love. Let me ask you something. Do you show the Lord that you love Him in the moments? Now, I'm thankful. Hey, you're here. I'm preaching to the choir today. I should be preaching to the choir. We've got almost, you know, we need some more seats up here. Congregational singing is your audition for choir. Amen. Come on. We're commanded to love the Lord. Joshua 22, verse 5 says, "Take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you to love the Lord your God." Jesus said it as well. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Loving Him. Love on the Lord. Look at verse 4 and verse 5. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. God is so good. God is so... We sing these songs. Are we just singing to take up time? Just singing them to kind of give folks time to move and do certain things? Folks, those songs are designed to give us opportunity to praise the Lord individually at the same time. Individually at the same time. That's what congregational singing is all about. Otherwise, let's just toss it aside. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. People don't want to sing usually. As a music director, our congregational leaders up here, they have to kind of inspire everyone to sing. You know, encourage you. Come on, let's sing it out now. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Isn't that great that Jesus saves? We want to encourage people to praise the Lord, to love on Him, love on the Lord, long for the Lord. We're commanded to love the Lord. We are confident in loving the Lord. Let me give you a verse that you know, okay? Romans 8:28 says this. The Bible says, can you quote it with me? Romans 8:28, do you have that? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. A lot of us claim Romans 8:28 that all things work together for good. Somehow, God, you're going to work this all together for good. But in our life, we're not showing our love for God. To them that love God, it's commanded, and we're to be confident, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. I encourage you, love on the Lord. Just spend some time loving on Him. If you can't spend time with the Lord, what do you mean spend time with the Lord? I come to church every Sunday. Well, that's a great step in the right direction, but it's hard to love on the Lord as a group, you know? The best way to love on the Lord is one-on-one with the Lord. Just time that we're not distracted by anyone else, and tell Him how good He's been. What's the word that He used there in Psalm 42? When I remember, go back and remind yourself and thank God for what He has done in your heart, done in your life, done in your family, the miracles that He's performed. If Jesus did nothing for us except save our souls and put our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, knowing that we would not spend one moment in the flames of hell, if that's all that Jesus ever did for us, we should never, ever end our praise and our worship unto Him and our love for Him. But His mercies and His blessings are new every day. Every day. I ask you today, do you love on the Lord? Do you show that love? Our moments, our money, our muscle. He longed for the Lord. He loved on the Lord. And last, for the rest of your life, will you do this? Will you lean on the Lord? Will you lean on the Lord? Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I in mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? He leaned on Him. This is too heavy for me, Lord. The trials in my life. I told you about Sennacherib. I told you about the king there of Assyria and all that. He went to the Lord. He prayed to the Lord. You can read about it. When problems come, don't just run to Facebook. When problems come, don't just call somebody up. When problems come, don't just gripe and complain about how terrible your life is to somebody else who cannot do anything about it. Why don't you go to the Lord and lean on Him? give your complaint to God. Say, well, that would be irreverent. Doesn't God already know what's going on? Doesn't he already know what's in your heart? Does he know what you're already thinking? Absolutely he does. Why not just get honest about it and lean on him? Say, I need your strength, God. I don't know what to do about this. He leaned on him. I mean, let's face it. He had served him. He had tried to bless him. He had longed for him. He had loved on him. It'd be like the President of the United States getting up and saying, all right, I just want you to know I've trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm born again the way the Bible says. I understand that that is the truth from Almighty God. And we as a nation, I'm commanding you to turn your heart toward Almighty God and these other religions and other things. That's what he did in Israel. That's what Hezekiah did as king. Say, well, that's a horrible, intolerant thing. He as king was responsible to the King of Kings. And he said, we're gonna serve God. And God brought great revival. You can read about it. And how God protected and blessed and in the midst of the trials. And to say that whenever you decide you're going to serve God, that things are all going to be just candy and soft and gushy and wonderful. Folks, that's naive. Because Satan is going to try to stop you. But remember this. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter what kind of static that might come between you and God, you'd lean closer on him. If you can't hear his voice and you listen for his heartbeat, you say, I'm longing for the Lord and I love on the Lord, but I haven't been leaning on him. Present your needs unto him. 1 Peter 1:7 says that the trial of your faith being more precious than of gold that perisheth. The trial of your faith in the eyes of God is precious. Why? Because you are precious to him. And he's watching and making sure that the heat is not too hot. He's making sure that it makes you pliable and bendable in his masterful care. The trial of our faith, as if it were in a fire, melting and bringing the dross and the impurities off of us. Present our needs. But I want to see, and I want you to see these last two verses, not just present our needs, but defend his name. Verse 10 says, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Do you hear him? He's saying, God, these people are defaming and blaspheming your name. Lord, they're saying that you've left me. Now, I know you haven't. But it looks like on the outward, it looks like to them that you have. I know you love me, Lord. But Lord, would you do something to defend your name? It's no longer about my need. It's about your name, God. Because by the way, one day we're going to bow before him. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus. I'm not talking about just the saved. I'm talking about the lost. People are going to stand there one day and they're going to see Adolf Hitler bow the knee before the Lord Jesus Christ and proclaim him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every single person that lived their life in unrepentant sin, not turning to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to bow their knee and they're going to proclaim Jesus Christ as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, before they are judged and sent to the lake of fire. Folks, this thing we call time is just a hiccup in eternity. The sicknesses that we go through, the trials that we endure, it'll seem like but just a moment. Just a moment. A distant memory at that point. So he says in verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? What is that saying? Why art thou disquieted? Well, quiet is still. Quiet is calm. Quiet is peace, right? So you put disquiet, it's the opposite of that. You ever had this kind of thing happen inside your heart and your soul and your mind? I mean, all these voices, all these thoughts, not knowing what to do, where to turn. Should I do this first? Should I do that? And everything's just a jumbled mess in our heart and in our mind. Hezekiah said, soul, you ever talk to yourself? I says to myself, soul, why art thou disquieted within me? Hush up. He says, hope thou in God. Do you see that? Hope thou in God. Hope is an expected end. It's not a wish. I hope that this might happen. No. Hope in the Word of God, the way the Word of God uses hope, it's looking to an expected end, something that is going to take place, something that's going to happen. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the, what's the word?
Health.
The health of my countenance. Back in these days, they didn't have mirrors like we have today. I imagine they probably, as the king, he would have some shiny brass. And I don't know what kind of disease he had. I don't know if it was leprosy. I don't know what it was. But evidently, there was something even about his face that was involved in this disease that he had. Hope thou in God, for he is the health of my countenance. And he said that while he was sick. He said that while he was in the midst of the trial. He said that, and he trusted the Lord. And it's not about his need anymore. It's about his name, his glory. The Bible tells us, and the Bible doesn't set this as a goal. The Bible doesn't set this as a promise to everyone. But you understand if you know your Bible. You understand that Isaiah came back to Hezekiah after he told Hezekiah that he was going to die. And it was imminent. After he did that, then God spoke to Isaiah and he said, I'll give you 15 more years. Hezekiah's heart pleased God so much. The testimony of his life pleased God so much. That God said, and by the way, the sundial moved backwards as a sign just to prove that what God was saying was true was going to happen. It wasn't just a coincidence. The rest of your life, the rest of your life could be 5 minutes. We've had people slump over here. Thank God no one has died in church service. But we've had folks taken out by ambulance. Heart issues and all that kind of thing over the years here. There have been folks who have driven home, and on the way home before the Sunday night service, they went out into eternity. None of us are promised another day. None of us are. None of us. We all have a ticking time bomb in us, and it's called sin nature. There was one of them right there, wasn't there? I ask you today, first of all, do you know the God that Hezekiah knew? You can only know him through the sacrifice for your sins. Either you're going to pay for your sins for all eternity in a devil's hell, or you're going to accept the payment that Jesus made for you on the cross, and you're going to put your faith in him. This church can't get you to heaven, but Jesus will. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, then my friend, you are targeted by Satan because you're a child of God, and understand that there's going to be trials and testings that God's going to allow into our heart and our life. And the purpose is not to hurt us, but to help us and to glorify him. And if we will do as Hezekiah did, God will honor his word and honor your faithfulness for the rest of your life. For the rest of your life. It might be 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. As a graduate today, walking across the stage, why don't you determine today, I'm going to long for the Lord, I'm going to love on the Lord, and I'm going to lean on the Lord, like Hezekiah did. I'm going to do that for the rest of my life. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the example that Hezekiah gave to us. And I pray now that you would help us to take this step of obedience. Lord, to love you, to long for you, to lean on you. And Lord, to find that you are our everything. You fulfill the deepest need of our life and our heart. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I cannot believe that in a group this size, that there are not people who are struggling with this thought. If I died right now, I do not know that Jesus is my Savior and that heaven is my home. And God is speaking to your heart right now. He's speaking to you. And he's saying, will you receive me? Will you take the gift of salvation? It can be yours this morning. Say, well, I don't know, preacher. I've done things in my life I'm embarrassed and ashamed of. God knows all those. He still loves you. He paid for those things that you've done. And you can be forgiven today if you'll accept the gift of salvation. Would you let me point you to Jesus today? He'll do the saving. He will wash your sins away. You put your faith and trust in him. Would you pray to him something like this? Would you? As an expression of your heart, expression of your belief, would you tell the Lord something like this? Just whisper it to God right here, right now, where you sit. Dear Lord Jesus, just whisper it to God right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for me. I put my faith and trust in you to take me to heaven. I ask you, Lord, to save my soul. Thank you, Lord, for washing my sins away. With no one looking around, I'm going to close that prayer in just a moment. With no one looking around, if you would say, preacher, as best I knew how, I did pray that prayer. I meant it. I asked Jesus to save me as best I know how. I don't know for sure what happened up in heaven, but I really meant it right then when I prayed, preacher. Would you slip your hand up and take it down so I can rejoice with you? I'll not embarrass you. I'll rejoice with you. Preacher, I prayed and asked Jesus to save me just then. I meant it. Just slip your hand up and take it right back down. Well, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Just be honest with the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many would say, preacher, before you close that prayer, God knows that I want to love on him and lean on him. And I long for him. And I don't want to fail in this time of testing in my life. I don't want to quit. I don't want to give up. For the rest of my life, I want Jesus to be magnified so that people can see him clearly through me. If you say, that's my heart's desire, that's my prayer, preacher. God knows what I'm going through. And I want to magnify him in it. Would you slip your hand up and hold just for a moment? Yes, God bless you. Yes, yes. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, there are some people here that don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. It would seem very odd that in a group this size that everybody would be saved. But Lord, you know each heart. I pray, God, that you will move and work in the hearts of each one. And Lord, for all the folks who raise their hands saying, I want to be faithful in time of testing, in the trials, for the rest of my life, I want to make you Lord and lean on you, long for you, and love on you. That's what I want to do, Lord. I pray that you give great victory today. In Jesus' precious name. Before we stand, in just a moment, we're going to sing an invitation song. Brother Bob's going to lead the song. We'll just stand here reverently with our heads bowed, our eyes closed as God does work in people's hearts. If you've come today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, I invite you to come. If you've come today willing to commit to the Lord's work here and say, this is where God has made my church home to be, I invite you to come. We welcome you. If today you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Don't leave here, please. Don't leave here without knowing that heaven is your home. Maybe you want to come and just pray and say, God, I want to be faithful the rest of my life. I don't know how long that may be, but for the rest of my life, I want to serve you. Hezekiah did. I will too. If God speaks to your heart, would you obey Him when you stand? Would you obey Him? Stand right now, everyone standing. Brother Bob, sing the invitation song. If God's moved upon your heart, you come on the